welcome people on the camera. Lovely to have you with us. Father God, we come here just as us. We know we are who you made us to be. Sometimes we don't see our value, but we know that you do. Thank you, Lord, for loving us just as we are. Teach us this morning what we need to know to move closer to you. Help us to love you better, serve you better, and bring glory to your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives light to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus, we come to you this morning praying that those words would be true, that you are all that we're living for, all that we're longing for. And we come before you this morning to give you thanks and praise. Father God, we come to you today just as we are. Use us in your mighty name. Amen. Lovely carol. Oh, I haven't called you that for a bit.
Good morning, everybody. It's a real pleasure to welcome everyone here this morning in the church building, and of course, those who are watching on YouTube. Hi, Joe and John. I hope you got home all right in the wind at the weekend. Joe is actually going to be joining us on this evening as the trustees meet. We're going to have a Zoom meeting with her just to keep up to speed with what's happening. So we would value your prayers for that, please. Special welcome to our guest this morning, to Nick Dixon, who's going to be speaking about Home for Good shortly. It's lovely that you've been able to come and join us, Nick, this morning. So just a few notices for the week. The ladies are meeting tomorrow, Monday, at 1:30. The ARC Playgroup on Tuesday at 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock. And the prayer meeting down here at church on Wednesday at 11 o'clock. Lunch club as usual at 12 o'clock on Thursday, and there will be the prayer meeting on Saturday morning down here at church at 9:30. Saturday the 1st of March, we're having a curry and quiz night, and Nick will be joining us again. It's a fundraising event for Home for Good. Please do come if you're able. Grace and Vivek are providing the food, and I have to say, I have sampled it, and it's a delight. So if you can come, that would be really good. If anyone's got any dietary requirements, there's a sign-up sheet at the back. If you put them on, even if you're putting on to say that you don't like spicy food, it's fine. We just want to accommodate everybody, but we do need the numbers by the 22nd of February. So please do sign up. Put your dietary requirements at the side, and we hope to get a really good turnout and raise some money for this amazing cause. Newsletters are out. I'm sure you've been given one as you come in. Please do take them for family, friends, anyone you think might like to know what's happening and what's going on. Very well produced, very professional. Thank you, Janet and Chris, for that. So they are at the back and they'll be there for a few weeks. Website, Facebook page, regularly updated, as I always say, but please do get in touch if you need to speak to any one of us for anything. And I'd just like to finish by saying that the Hans family, you know, Fred's family, have sent a word of thanks to everyone for their support, the cards, the texts, for attending the funeral. They really do appreciate it. It was at the very sad time. But we did have a lovely time at Aston Hall and had some amazing memories of Fred. So thank you for everyone who was able to attend and for the donations. They raised £295 for Lady Fields Care Home, where Fred spent the last few months of his life. So thank you very much for that. Talking about fundraising, the Tear Fund, the quiz that we had, I think it was back in November, was it, Jan? It seems forever. We have a final total, and we raised £134, so that will be sent off.
I think we raised about £160,000.
Really? £160,000 over the country on that particular event, so that's absolutely amazing. Thank you for everyone who contributed. We have a lady with us this morning who has a birthday today. It's Brenda at the back. I'm not going to embarrass her because she's warned me I'm not being dragged out to the front. So we'll just say have a lovely day as you spend it, however you spend it. Happy birthday. Nick.
Thank you. Morning. Yeah, so I'm Nick. I work for Home for Good, and we've just recently merged with another charity called Safe Families, who operate in this area. They don't operate everywhere in the country, but they do operate here, so I'm going to bring a little bit of what they do as well. So I prepared this morning, we're going to have a little bit of Word and a little bit of Home for Good, and hopefully I'm going to segue them well enough together. And I've come to the title of Humility and Service. Just want to put in the caveat that obviously Home for Good are fostering adoption-supported lodgings. And that is something that the whole church can play a part in. However, it's not for everybody. But don't switch off, because I'm going to give you lots of ways in which you can get involved or be supportive as we go through. So it's not just about, you know, fostering, so you could just forget listening. We want to talk about, you know, the different ways the church can be mobilised. And I can see through my conversation with Jan, this is something that you really care about here. So I'm really excited to share that with you. So I'm Nick. I have my husband, Dave, and we have three children. We've got Toby, who's 19, Jacob, who's 13, and Vinny, who's 3. So there's a little bit of an age gap there. So my house is really interesting because somebody needs me 24/7. Absolutely, 24/7. I am on call 3 o'clock in the morning when my 19-year-old comes in from a night out. Mum, I need to talk to you. Okay, mate, I'm here. So I often think about the humility that it must require. All of my children, my birth children, must require for foster carers and adoptive parents to be able to step into the gap that their children who've faced trauma and difficult starts in life need. That extra bit, they need much more than my children do. So when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about obviously Jesus and the different people that I know, that I work with, part of peer support groups, part of the different networks that we get involved in, and the things that they lay down in order to serve the children that they're working with. And it's just amazing what they're doing. We'll go into a bit more of that. So we're in Philippians 2, and we're going verses 5 to 18. So I'm just going to read it in its entirety to start with, and then just share a little bit of what I've found out this week as I've really dug into it. So you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of the highest honour, and he gave him the name above all other names. And at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So This is something that I have always been quite familiar with, the first section. I'll read the second section in a little while. I know I said I was going to read it all. Changed my mind. Something that I've always been really, really familiar with, but never overthought. I never really gone into a deep thought about it. So as I started researching, I came up with the challenge of Philippians is the question, how should we live and what sort of people should we be? And the shortest version of the answer that I came up with is we should be imitators of the one that we follow. So, wow, it's an amazing opportunity to be more Christ-like, an invitation to be that way. I love that in my job, I get to see the church step up and live out the gospel through supporting and empowering children and young people and their families in the communities that they're living in with true grace and humility. So I'm going to try and explain what I found out, but I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to communicate it well. So this section, verses 6 to 11, it was a hymn, an early church hymn. Now, this was brand new news to me. It might be everybody else in the room might already know it, but I did not know this. So this was the reason that Paul wrote this was because it was going to echo the words that they already knew. It was already a song in the church, and he used it to catch their attention and their imagination. And I don't know about anybody else, but I really have my attention caught in worship in that time and music. It really sort of drags me in. And I just think, wow, Paul, you're so clever, right? And it is written in a V shape. So the V is the descent of Christ from heaven down to earth, where he died a criminal's death on a cross. And then as he ascends back to glory. So this is the way that it was written, was deliberately to show that Jesus started from this place of glory and he ended in that place of glory. However, he had to come on this journey down to here and die in order to ascend. Have I got everybody with me? Because I tried to explain to my husband this morning. He was like, no, Nick, I don't get it. No, don't get it. That doesn't make any sense. But if I've got you, then that's brilliant. So, yeah. So as it comes down, so if we're looking on the left side of the V, this is my left, your left, sorry. And I sort of dug into these verses. I really found it significant. Verse 6 in the Amplified Version said, he existed in the form and unchanging essence of God, as one with him, possessing the fullness of all divine attributes, the entire nature of deity, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped or asserted, as if he did not already possess it, or he was not afraid of losing it. It's just like a wow moment. An amazing thought that Jesus did not consider his status of being God more important than his rescue mission, that he was going to come down to earth and that he was going to save us. Yeah. What humility. I mean, like, that is just like, I've just had such a revelation of humility this week. Sorry. What an amazing saviour we've got. Yeah. He didn't even consider that more important than saving us. And you know, interestingly, that he had a Christmas, in inverted commas, song this morning. A lot of what I've been reflecting on this week is how he came to the manger. How he came to that such humble place. You know, it's all just interlinked. And I was reading my son, The Brick Nativity. If you have any children in your life, buy them The Brick Nativity next Christmas if you haven't already, because it's an absolutely brilliant poem about how Jesus comes down, and it really captures the essence of that humility. So there you go, Christmas list for next year. So that was a side note, sorry. The descent of Jesus brings us right to the bottom of the V, which is now where we're at, the point of Jesus in the hymn, which is verse 8. It's the death on the cross. And then on the right side of the V, it shows us the exaltation of Christ, the glorification that will be recognised by all of creation. And, you know, we live for that day, don't we? We live for that day when all of creation is going to glorify our Lord and every eye is going to see it. So, but he explains that this could only be achieved through Christ's complete humility. One of the really interesting things that I read this week was that the devil fell from heaven because of his pride. Yeah. So the only way to bring balance back was for Jesus to be so incredibly humble. I found that interesting. I mean, I've really enjoyed this. You can probably tell. This has been great for me personally. So, you know, there had to be a balance restored, that Jesus had to come so that then we could be to be saved. So in the Amplified verse 9 says, "For this reason, because he obeyed, so completely humbled himself, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every other name." Gave up all that he was entitled to set us free. I mean, wow. So Christ is fully God. He could have come to earth as God. And how amazing is it that he chose not to for our benefit? So how can we not justify giving up the things that we think we're entitled to? How can we not lay down things that are not important in the upside down kingdom of God? Things like social status, our accolades and achievements, and then humble ourselves before one another. Can we serve those in the community that are struggling in a way that sets aside our own needs? He gave it all up to come and serve us. The concern that Paul is expressing in this letter is the manner of life in which the Philippians are living should be worthy of the gospel that's clearly explained in this hymn section of the letter. We as the church in 2025 can consider the ways that we are living. It may be that we've got something personally that we need to lay down, an attitude or offence that we need to deal with and set aside. We all have ways we can be more like Christ. Can we mobilise as the church nationally to make social change? Change things in our communities and wrap around those that are feeling isolated. The whole church has a part to play in the community that we live in to live out the gospel. So we're moving back to the verse 12, if I can find it, which is titled "Shine Brightly for Jesus." Which was so. Yesterday we had our family church. So I spend half of my time working for Home for Good and half of the time working for my church. As their children and families work. And yesterday we had our family church, and I just picked a passage months and months ago, and we have sort of a messy church, but also we have an adult Bible study because our families need that connection for the adults as well. So that's something that we really enjoy doing. But as we came to prepare for yesterday, I realised we're doing salt and light. Salt and light, and we're shining brightly for Jesus. I was like, wow. So going through sort of being able to shine brightly, don't hide your light. Looking at those different things that are in Matthew 5, 13 to 16. We're not going to go there, but, you know, it all links together if you want to go back to that later, but I need to keep an eye on the time. So, shine brightly for Christ. It says, "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing." That's a huge challenge right there for me personally. "So that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people, holding firmly to the word of life. Then, on the day of Christ's return, I'll be proud that I did not run the race in vain, and my work was not useless. But I rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful servant is offering to God." And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share joy. I can testify that researching into humility has given me joy. And it doesn't seem to make sense, does it? That being into that place of humility, I've had to really look at my life. And I'm going to share a couple of things with you in a minute about things that I've looked at this week and things that I've reflected on. But it has given me so much joy. I feel uplifted by looking at the way that Christ made himself humble for me. And I want to step forward in that way. So everything that I'm saying to myself as well. So he gave it all up to come and serve us. I've already said that bit, sorry, I've just lost my point. The next section of this passage is titled Shine Brightly. Yep. And verse 12, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. So I also went to Romans 12 and read, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I have given you this warning. Do not think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself by the faith God has given us. This goes on to talk about how we're all part of Christ's body and we all belong to each other. So in this, I felt quite convicted. A few years ago, I was really happy at church. I was doing great. I was serving a ministry. I was working as part of the team. I was a key player, reading my Bible, praying. Every tick box was tick, 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 all the way down. And someone came to me in my congregation where I work. I wasn't working there, I was a volunteer. And she said to me, I have not been to church for weeks, Nick, because you really upset me. And I was like, whoa, what? This doesn't match up with my belief of myself right here. I believe I am loving people well. I believe that I was doing things great and that I was pleasing God. But actually, at a church event, I was stressed. And I had snapped. And I mean, I had never given it a second thought. But this person had been really hurt by what I did. So I hadn't behaved in an honourable way. I'll never forget that moment of true assessment of myself and realising that my actions had a wider impact. It was a huge, huge reality check. And this is what the be honest in your evaluation with yourself by the faith God's given us. It's okay if we're not perfect. We are entirely loved. But sometimes we have to deal with certain behaviours or thoughts or snapping that are stopping us from serving in humility, serving in the way that Christ would. So I didn't like it. I didn't like the way that I saw myself under that microscope. And at this point, I realised that my outlook determined my outcome. So I thought I had it all together. I thought I knew what I was doing. I thought, right, finally, I've arrived. But I hadn't. And my outlook of I'm doing great determined my outcome of not making sure that I was loving really well to the people that I was serving alongside. People that are part of the body, people that are my family. So I learned a lot from that. But I'd leave the question with you. Is your outlook determining your outcome? Are you shining brightly for Christ? I was completely unaware that I had done that at the time. And it stole joy from the event for the other person. It stole joy from the event on my reflection as well. James 4 talks about the pitfalls of pride. One does in verse 6. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And that's just echoing from Proverbs in the Old Testament. It goes on to say in verse 7, humble yourself before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And then again in verse 10, humble yourself before God and he will lift you up in honour. I think there's a big difference between understanding and work and the working out of humility. It can be so difficult to grasp in a world where self-care is important. And don't get me wrong, I am not suggesting that we shouldn't take care of ourselves. I'm not suggesting that anybody who is feeling empowered or speaking out for themselves or on a mental health journey should take steps backwards and start putting down their boundaries. Boundaries are really important. But what I am saying is that we need to be able to translate humility in the abstract into words and actions, in whatever way God's calling you to. So I'm going to share a little story here. So there was a famous philosopher who studied deeply and wrote articles and papers positively impacting the world of education, making the world a better place for children and young people. Same philosopher ignored his own children and they weren't able to get an education. So it was really easy for him to care about and advocate for children in the abstract. But when it came down to the practice, he wasn't able to deliver. think that humility is difficult to grasp because it's such a heart issue. Warren Wiersbe says, says, the humble person is not the one who thinks meanly of himself. He simply does not think of himself at all. You see, humility becomes a way of life for those who grasp it. We are, and as I've said, I'm speaking to myself, able to take that abstract idea of humility and implement it into our own lives to serve one another, to serve the community and serve families. So right at the beginning of Philippians 2, and it wasn't part of my section, Paul asked the questions, are your hearts tender and compassionate? I think that that's such a big question. The world can make your heart go hard at times. So at Home for Good and Safe Families, we have a vision for the church to be the solution to the social care system, to support vulnerable children, young people and their families. It's an incredibly humbling endeavour. I wanted to share with you today some of the work that we're doing at Home for Good and Safe Families in this area and how you can get involved if it's the right thing for you. It may be something, maybe you're interested in fostering adoption or doing supported lodgings for becoming a family friend. At Home for Good and Safe Families, we believe the whole church has a part to play in creating spaces where everyone can feel welcome and that they belong. Please, could I have the video? Thank you.
Ben and Cynthia live next door, and they let me play with their dog Callie in the garden. They're really kind in letting me help them with the dog. In school, Mr. Jones helps me understand my work better, and so I help him with jobs. He takes me for walks around the corridors when my classroom feels a bit too busy. He helps me to feel calm again. I love going to see Julia. She always plans something fun for me to do, like rolling around on a really big squishy ball. Being with her helps me feel less wobbly. Marcus lives on my street. He calls at my door and we play tag together. Marcus gets me. He doesn't ask me a lot of questions. Buzana is my foster carer. She's super kind and tells jokes that she thinks are funny. She helps me understand what I'm feeling, especially when I miss home. Her yummy cooking always makes me feel better. My grown-up friend Emma at church knows all of my favourite games. Sometimes Sunday school can feel a bit too noisy, so when that happens, we go outside together. It really helps. I think I might be a footballer when I'm older, or an astronaut. Derek coaches our football team. He really believes in me. He also gives the best high fives. I see Nia when we go to the Home for Good parties. She doesn't live with her birth family either, so I'm not the only one. We had a picnic in the park and there was a bouncy castle. I was allowed on it for as long as I wanted. We go to the Bassies' house every Thursday. I get to choose what food I have and they don't mind if I eat it all or not. They have computer games that I don't have and their dad always lets me win. Buzana laughs a lot with their mum when we are there. It sort of feels like another family.
A good home needs a lot of bricks. Everyone has something to offer. What could you bring?
At Home for Good, we have a vision that we have can find a home for every child who needs one by coordinating and resourcing a rapidly growing network of people, churches and local movements across the UK who are raising awareness of the needs of vulnerable children and young people, inspiring individuals to explore fostering, adoption and supported lodgings and equipping churches to understand and support. As I've already mentioned, Home for Good and Safe Families have merged into one charity with a bold vision to see children and families thrive. So every child needs a stable place to call home, an environment that feels safe and nurturing, and someone they can trust who will offer unconditional care and support. Every family needs people around them who care and can support them So when challenges happen, they don't have to face them alone. So whether it's an hour, a month or a lifetime, we want to support the church to offer the sense of home to children and families. Many of the people I work with are able to foster, adopt or open their homes to teenagers living. They are living that life of humility. Foster parents open their homes not knowing how long it will be for or how it will turn out for the benefit of the child or the young person, setting aside their own ideas and needs to provide that stability for a season. Adoptive parents open their lives and families to children who have faced instability and trauma, often laying down their ideals of what their family might have looked like. It could be following a difficult journey. They lay down their time and their comfort to parent a child who needs extra support and love. And a family friend will set aside some time in their busy life to wrap around families needing support or families that may be at the risk of the children entering care, to serve them and support them to thrive. As you've seen in the video that I shared, there is a whole church response. Everybody can play a part. So how can the church wrap around every different type of family to be a welcoming space and allow people to come exactly as they are, to know our Saviour's love and be supported by his church? I'm going to give you a few statistics. I promise I won't go on for too long about this. So every year, 38,000 children and young people enter the care system nationally for the first time. So in the Sheffield City Council area, there are 653 children and young people in care. 337 of them entered care for the first time last year. But 17% of them have to be placed outside of the city limit because there isn't enough foster carers. Although that could be in the best interest for some children, it's not ideal for most. Each and every one of these children needs and deserves a home that is stable, whether it's just for a short period or they spend the rest of their childhood in care or go on to be adopted. Each and every child needs and deserves to know that they are welcome, that they belong and that they are safe. But right now there is a shortage of foster carers, which means children are experiencing multiple moves, instability and uncertainty. There are brothers and sisters who are having to be separated, living apart because there just aren't enough carers to look after them together. Right now, one in four children in care are over the age of 16. So, and there's very limited options for these young people. We have a vision at Home for Good to increase the amount of supported lodgings beds for these young adults. For right now, there are children whom adoption seems to have been deemed the right decision, but there's nobody ready to adopt them. At Home for Good, we dream of a time where there is an appropriate home available for every child who needs one. We imagine the transformational difference a church could make if more families in our congregations opened their home to children and young people. We imagine the power of the church communities wrapping around them with love, encouragement and prayer and helpful practical support. And imagine the volume of beautiful variety of voices present in our church communities coming together in unison to pray and asking for more for our children and young people. This is an opportunity for each of us to consider what part we can play to meet the needs of children and young people who have entered care or at risk of entering care in our community. At Home for Good and Safe Families, we believe that everyone has a part to play. So I'm going to tell you the three ways that you can get involved if it feels right for you. So the first one is to pray. We have a regular prayer newsletter that comes out by email. You can receive that individually or you can sign up to it as a church. You could spend some time in your weekly prayer meeting or in your personal prayer time. And that is, you know, amazing. That's the first thing we have to do all the time. We know this. The second is to explore. If you have an hour a week to spend time with a local family to help them to do different things, we have three different ways to volunteer in that 1 hour a week kind of space. And with the Safe Families model, but also if you wanted to foster, adopt, become a supporting lodgings host, come and see me and we can have a bigger talk around that. And then the third way is to give. All of our work is for the children and young people. Could you respond financially? Is that something that you're able to do? For example, £10 a week could help our inquiry team respond to someone who's exploring fostering and adopting. It's entirely up to you. That's the three ways that we have. for you to give. But yeah, that's... So, I haven't linked it back to humility. So I'm sorry, I'm very, very down to earth. So yeah, but thank you very much for this opportunity. Is it okay if I pray? Yeah. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to share about the work that we're doing with vulnerable children, young people and families, the work that we're doing to keep families together and the work that we're doing to help people to find a safe and stable home. And Father, we just pray that any seeds that have been planted here, Lord, if they're from you, that they'll come into fruition, and that anything that is not of you, Lord, that it's burned away. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to dig into humility, and we pray that we can be more and more like you every day of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, Nick. Don't worry, we're a very down-to-earth lot, so you fit in just fine. It's interesting you bring up this concept of boundaries being okay. I've been dealing with this a little bit myself recently, that I know boundaries is like a very modern word, but I've heard someone else say to me, you have to be fed in order to feed. So finding that balance and then finding the humility to do the jobs that God has for you is a real task in itself. So thank you so much for talking about that. Let's just pray before we sing. Father God, we lay before you everything that Nick has brought to us today. We thank you for her and for the work that Home for Good and the other charity do. Lord, we pray that you would help us to find that sweet spot where we look after ourselves enough to look after other people. Help us to find those opportunities to give sacrificially, but not to the point where we're not able to sustain. Lord, we want to live for you, and that means giving to others. So, Father God, convict us of the places where you want us to work. And if today, if Nick's talk has brought something into your heart, made you think of something that you want to do, please, Lord, give us the courage to talk to Nick, to follow it further, and to see where it leads. In your mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Father God, as we go out this week, let everything we do be for you, that we might be praising our Saviour all the day long. In your mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Do you stay for a coffee and a biscuit?